Here's Pastor Brian as he begins a new study on the deity of Christ.
This week we're going to be looking at the important subject of the deity of Jesus Christ. And over the next few studies, we're going to be looking at 10 verses that directly claim that Jesus Christ is the eternal God. It's important to study the nature of Jesus Christ because basically Christianity is all about Christ. And so I'd encourage you to write these 10 scriptures down, write them in your Bible so that you will have them ready, a ready defense when someone asks you about the nature of Christ and to prove that he truly is God. And also in looking at this, some may ask, why is it important to believe that Jesus Christ is truly God? There's other religious groups that seem to be good people or seem to have good, strong families, but yet they don't believe in the deity of Christ. Well, Jesus said this in John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So in order to have eternal life, in order to be in God's eternal kingdom, one must first of all know God the Father and then also know Jesus Christ, the one that God has sent. And if someone believes that Jesus Christ is less than God, then they do not truly know him and they truly do not have eternal life. So it's not a debatable subject. It's not something that someone could choose to believe or to reject. In order to be saved, in order to have eternal life, they must fully agree that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is God, not a created being, not less than the Father, but equal with the Father. And I want to give you 10 direct scriptures that come from authoritative sources, such as the apostles, John, Matthew, Thomas, Paul, one from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, and then last but not least, God the Father himself calls Jesus God. And we'll start in John chapter 1, the very first verse of this wonderful gospel. It says this: in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John starts off his gospel in showing the nature and character of Jesus Christ, that he has always been with God, he has eternally been with the Father, and that he is God. Yes, it is true that he is a separate person in the Father, but he is the eternal God as well. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses have mistranslated verse 1 in the last part where they say, and the Word was a God. And they insert the letter A, meaning that Jesus Christ is less than the Father. And Manti, a Greek scholar, in commenting on this mistranslation of the Bible, he said it is a grossly misleading translation of this verse. What this verse is saying is that Jesus Christ has been, always will be, and throughout eternity is God. It's interesting that even in their own translation, the New World Translation of the Scriptures, they have not been consistent in adding the little letter A where the same phrase appears, such as in verse 6, where it says, there was a man sent from God. It's the same grammatical structure, but yet they do not translate it, there was a man sent from a God. Same in verse 12, where it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Once again, they don't translate it to become the children of a God, as well as in verse 18 of the same chapter, same writer, where it says, no one has seen God. They don't translate it in saying, no one has seen a God, but they translate it, no one has seen God. And so their translation or mistranslation of verse 1 is a perversion to distort the true teaching about Jesus and his deity. Jesus is fully God, according to the Apostle John, in the first verse of his gospel. And then as he gets to the end of his gospel as well, he hasn't changed his mind as he records the words of Thomas when Thomas encounters the risen Lord. Jesus says this to Thomas in John chapter 20, in verse 27 through 29. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. So the apostle Thomas, after seeing the resurrected Lord, called Jesus Lord and God, proving that the apostles accepted the deity of Jesus Christ as recorded by John the apostle here. And it's most interesting, Jesus' response to Thomas' words. He said this immediately. Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have not believed. Now, if Jesus was not truly God, this would have been blasphemy for Thomas to call Jesus God. He would have rebuked him and said, "No, Thomas, don't call me God. I'm not God." But yet, Jesus said, "You're blessed because you believe this statement, the statement that Jesus Christ is Lord and God." Then also in the other writing of the Apostle John, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20, he says this, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ." And he says this, "This is the true God and eternal life." And this word "this" is related to Jesus Christ, his Son, who was just mentioned. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, some would like to, again, take away from the deity of Christ and say the word "this" is relating to the Father. But nowhere in Scripture do you find that the Father is related to or called eternal life. Jesus is the one that is life. Jesus is the one that said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." So this truly is another evidence of a direct statement that calls Jesus Christ God in the Scriptures. Lenski, who wrote a great commentary on the New Testament, dealing a lot with the grammatical aspects of the Scriptures, held to the fact that the word "this" referred to Jesus Christ. And he said this, commenting on 1 John 5:20. "This is the old exegesis that played a great role in the controversy with Arius, who, because of his denial of the eternal sonship, was compelled to make John say that this one was equal to God and not Jesus Christ. The Arian exegesis became that of all later anti-Trinitarians. Against them stands the exegesis of the church as it was advanced from the early days onward." So in the 4th century, when there was a denial of the deity of Jesus Christ by one of the church leaders by the name of Arius, the church held to the fact that this was a reference to the deity of Jesus Christ and used this from the 1st century on, even earlier, to prove the claim that Jesus Christ was truly God. Another apostle that stated directly that Jesus Christ was God was Matthew. In the first chapter of his gospel, as he's recounting the story of Jesus Christ and his birth, he says this, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." That's from Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. And then he gives us a translation of what Emmanuel is. It says, "which is translated God with us." So as he's describing the virgin birth of Christ, he says the offspring of this union will be Emmanuel, which is God with us. So he's saying it's not only just a human child that is born, but it is God coming among us, God living and dwelling among men, God truly being with us. So he says this offspring that God would produce through the Holy Spirit, through a virgin, would not only be truly man, but will also be truly God. So Matthew also, along with the Apostle John, claims that Jesus Christ is truly God. Another apostle, the Apostle Peter, in his short book in 2 Peter, in the very opening verse of his letter, proves the deity of Jesus Christ, where he writes this, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtain like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ." And so Peter calls not only Jesus Christ the Savior, but he also calls him our God. And grammatically, it's speaking about one person. It's not speaking about the Father as being our God and then the Savior, but he's speaking about one individual. Peter calls Jesus our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The same grammatical structure appears in his book elsewhere in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, where it speaks of Jesus, of him as being the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, that is one person. Also in chapter 3, verse 2, Peter writes this, "that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets, and of the commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Again, speaking of one person, not the Lord as being one person and the Savior being one person, but the Lord and Savior. And then he closes his epistle with the same sort of structure where he says, "but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So just as he refers to Jesus as Lord and Savior three times in this book as being one person, the opening is the same where he says, once again, the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So here we have three apostles, the Apostle John, The Apostle Matthew and the Apostle Peter all claim that Jesus Christ is God. In our next study, we'll look at the words of the Apostle Paul, and then, saving last but not least, God the Father in his statement of claiming that his Son is God.